Are you interested in the current state of the health industry? Want to know more about nutrition, natural medicine, holistic healthcare, and more? You're in the right place. Welcome to Nutrition Prescription with your host, integrative health and nutrition coach, Angela Atkins. She dishes the dirt on a bunch of health topics with a social consciousness flair. Here's Angela.
Hi, and welcome to Nutrition Prescription. This is Angela Atkins of Your Health Unbound, and I'm welcoming today my guest, Amy Lassiter. Amy is a licensed therapist and owner of Holistic Therapies and Consulting, which is located in Athens, Georgia. Her mission is to support moms who are ready to leave the frustration and overwhelm behind. These women learn to trade in their loneliness for connection through love, advocacy, and encouragement. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you.
So I'm going to be absolutely upfront here. This is our take two on this. We did a fabulous recording. So sorry that no one will ever hear it, but technology just blew up and nothing recorded, so we're doing this all over again just because it was such a great interview. You have to hear it again.
You have excellent interviewing skills.
Thank you. All right, let's move on. So today, Amy's going to talk about mindful life, catapult yourself into connection. You use the term mindful as it's written as a hyphenated word, really. So it's mind hyphen full. That sounds very specific. I'd love for you to delve into that and tell us more about it.
Well, for me, when I think of a mindful life, it's all about how we can use mindfulness to create the life that we want. You know, a lot of times there's a lot of frustrations and irritations and annoyance and overwhelm because we are working so hard at just moving through life, but we aren't being mindful about it, and then we get frustrated when we don't get what we want. So if we want to get what we want, we need to have a mindfulness skill set to have a mindful life.
And I'm certain there are methods that need to be approached because mindfulness, as we discussed earlier, is not an easy thing for some people. It's a hot topic. A lot of people talk about mindful living. Mm-hmm. You can read it everywhere. Mm-hmm. But it's not something that comes to us naturally. I mean, especially in this world where it's hectic and we're doing 1,000 things and we have no time for ourselves. Mm-hmm. How does one get to a mindful life?
Well, I think first, in order to, you know, start to learn how to practice mindfulness is kind of understanding that I always encourage people to start by thinking about it from an observational standpoint, that you want to take what I call a bird's eye view or God's eye view, whatever people are most comfortable with, or even as if you're a narrator of a story. And so when we step back and view a situation, that's when we can start to see how things are playing out and how we can see things in a more realistic manner and what is actually happening. A lot of times, you know, emotions are coming into how we perceive and how we hear things, and we miss the things that are actually being said. So when we take that standpoint and we back away from a situation a little bit through those different perspectives, that's when we can really start to see what's actually going on.
Okay. So one of the bullet points basically that we were looking at is mm-hmm. talking about self-care. Tell me how self-care, you need to have a new or a fresher perspective on life situations.
Well, oftentimes, and that goes back into when we think about our irritations or frustrations, we're usually thinking back about something that happened. We all love our partners and our husbands and wives, but sometimes we get really annoyed. And so we're kind of ruminating and kicking around a situation, you know, that a fight that occurred or an argument. So when we're thinking about that, we get all of those same intense emotions about it. And when we have those intense emotions coming in through it, we can't really see what's going on. What might the other person be seeing or experiencing? How are you feeling and reacting to that? And when we step back and get that fresh perspective and observe it and write it like we're a storyteller, it makes it easier for us to see what is actually going on. How did I say upset this other person? Oh, well, my husband might have felt like I was ignoring him because of some of, you know, the words that I used. I wonder how my feelings played into those words I used. What would have happened if I used different words?
I know previously we had spoken about this feeling of disconnect. And I had mentioned, is this primarily women? Mm-hmm. And I think one of the issues that I understood is that it does happen to basically primary caregivers. You're obviously seeing more women at this point. Mm-hmm. But tell me, why does this happen to primary caregivers, where they lose the sense of themselves? They don't really have a mindful life because they lose that connection.
Mm-hmm. And that it happens a lot among primary caregivers because they are so busy taking care of everyone else that they forget to make sure that they're on the list of people they take care of. They're so busy keeping up with, you know, in this case, if we're talking about moms, you know, the schoolwork and the school functions and who needs to go where and the after school activities. If you are a woman if you're a woman or a man taking care of an elderly parent, you're not only juggling your own life, but now you're thinking about someone else's appointments and what do they need and their medications and are these properly? What are some of, you know, the reactions that they're getting from their medications? How can we temper that? And now what needs to be done? It's when we start looking at all of the people that we are taking care of, it very often happens that the main caregiver is not on the list. They are not a priority.
And do you think that's a function of that we think of taking care of ourselves as being selfish?
Yes. I think especially for caregivers, I think it's particularly hard for women right now because, you know, there's, you know, well, we should work. No, we should stay at home if we have family. Well, no, you should take care of your parent instead of taking care of yourself. You know, think of others. And so there's this push-pull of like, oh, but then we need to be independent and strong. And there's a lot of contradicting messages, I think, that people are receiving. And I think it's particularly even hard for men because even men are starting to hear like, oh, you should be sensitive and caring and be in touch with your feelings, but don't be too sensitive and don't be too in touch and still take care of everything. And I mean, it's a hot mess.
That's a good way of putting it. That takes us into the point that we talked about, the wording that we use, understanding what feelings go behind using but and should. And I think I called them innocuous words, but after talking to you, obviously they're not. They're rife with emotion. So explain to the listeners how using but and should really does affect your mindset.
Well, it's my opinion, and I think this happens across the board. We just have never realized it, is that but disregards everything we just said in the sentence. You know, you're trying to, you know, an argument has escalated, and you're raised voices and whatnot, and then you try to back off of it and you say, I'm really sorry, but my feelings were really hurt and I'm feeling really angry about it. Well, but just disregarded everything you just said versus when you say, I'm really sorry and my feelings were hurt and I was just having a lot of big emotions.
So you're allowing that apology to be real rather than saying, I'm still angry, basically.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you can't, I mean, isn't that true? Can't you be sorry for something that's like, oh, I'm really sorry that happened. And I am still feeling angry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because our emotions come in, we start saying things that we're not necessarily thinking of because, you know, our, I mean, we can get into all the different aspects of the limbic system and the prefrontal cortex, but, you know, all of those hormones start coming in and our reasoning and logic kind of starts shutting down. And it's like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I'm still feeling angry.
So actually using the word, but like you said, it negates the first part of the sentence. What is it? Is it should you include and saying, I'm sorry, and I still feel this way?
Yeah, I think it's about really communicating what it is that you're experiencing. I am sorry, and I don't feel like I'm being heard. I don't feel like I'm being listened to, and that hurts my feelings.
And so that doesn't negate the fact that you're sorry that it happens. It just expresses clearly what you are feeling. That makes
sense.
So tell me more about how should fits into the picture when people use the word should in sentences.
So should is a lot, you know, we always talk about the term like shoulding ourselves to death. And to me, whenever we start using the word should, that's when we need to start paying attention to what's going on, because should is usually an outside expectation that we are internalizing and saying that we need to carry out. I should make dinner for everyone, even though I'm really tired. I should pack lunches because then I know my kids eat a more healthy meal. And that's just that outside expectation coming in, and that we've set it as a rule or a tone for ourselves that doesn't necessarily match where we are in our life or a value that we have.
So what's the alternate word for should then? I mean, if we should not impose the external expectations on us, mm-hmm. like I should be making dinner for my family. What is it that we can say that allows our feelings to be validated?
I would say try to use the word can or want. Because if we say, I want to make dinner right now, you're like, no, actually, I don't. Right? That immediate thought comes up of like, no, I'm tired. Or, you know, I want to make lunches. Yeah, that feels kind of good to me. Okay. Then go and make the lunch. This is a can. This is a want. We should not be shooting ourselves.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, allow that to float up and acknowledge that and honor that. If that's a value that you want. And some, you know, and we were talking a little bit earlier, you know, about those, you know, about allowing the apology to exist at the same time of those emotions. Just like when, you know, we find ourselves in can and want and should, that also requires us, you know, can we allow both to exist? Yes, I want my kids to have a healthier meal, and I'm really tired. So maybe today is not that day.
So forgiving ourselves for being human, basically,
yes.
What it says. We can't be what everybody expects us, what the shoulds are. We have to be what we are right here in the right now, you know, in that moment.
Yeah. And being okay with that and not striving for this ideal or this perfection, or we've got to keep up with so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we get away from the life that we want. And it's by trying to be more than we are or being perceived by others.
So that brings up our feelings, obviously. So you state that feelings act as our emotional filters. Can you explain that to us?
Yeah. So when we are feeling, kind of taking that same perspective of the argument, right? I'm sorry, but I'm still feeling angry. If that's one sign that anger is still filtering in and skewing our perception of a situation. If we're sitting back and trying to practice just observing what's going on, that's when we can start to say, oh, you know, if I really listen and hear what my partner just said or my child, what they just said, we can say, he's feeling really hurt. I wonder what he's feeling hurt about. Or, you know, when he came in the door, he kind of slammed the door. So is his reaction really about me, or is it about something that's already happened? And what would it be like in those moments if we're able to learn and practice observing in those ways of saying, is this really about what I just said, or is this about something else? Or is it about both? Again, we can allow both to exist.
This is where you're saying that living a mindful life allows you to do this and kind of step away from those knee-jerk reactions we normally have.
Yes.
So yes. Give us an example how you start down that path. How do you start getting into the mindfulness?
I think it's understanding, you know, so we talk a lot about understanding, checking in with our expectations. I think that's a really great way to start really figuring out where we are operating from. And also understanding what emotion that we're actually feeling, and what words are phrases that we have a tendency to have when we are experiencing some type of stress. I know for myself that when I am struggling, especially when I'm trying to push something through and I'm trying to get my energy, or I'm trying to not be so anxious, I'll say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's always okay. And when I start repeating that phrase in my head like that, that's my first red flag that I'm under some stress. What is it that I'm trying to get away from? What's really stressful to me in this moment? And that's when I need to pause, and where I've taught myself to pause of, what am I worried about? What's scary here? And so when I utilize that, that's when I can start being a bit more mindful about what it is that's really scaring me. So it's understanding some of the words and the phrasing that you use in very specific situations and around certain feelings.
Can you describe how you use that with a client? You had talked about words on a spectrum, you know, mm-hmm. that. Can you describe how that works and people can put that into practice?
Yeah, so there's a couple of ways of going about it. Oftentimes when I'm working with a client and they're not quite sure what's going on, or it's, okay, well, let's talk about the feelings that come up when you're in this stressful situation. So it may be it gets really noisy in my head. It gets, I start to feel overwhelmed. For me, my anxiety often feels outside of my body, like it's just out of reach. And so it's getting bigger than me. And so when I start to use those words or those phrases, we start to say, okay, well, this is the feeling. You start to feel anxious. You start to feel worried. You know, I'll pull up my feelings wheel and I'll say, okay, so when you're feeling anxious, what are some of the words that you start to use? So then we start identifying two or three words that they start to use when they're feeling worried or anxious. And so now that we know these words that are associated with being anxious and worried, now we can start observing when we're using them in our minds of, like I said, you know, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's always okay. And whoa, there's my phrasing. There are my words. What's going on? And that gives us a moment to just pause and check in with ourselves. Some people will really observe their thoughts first, and some people will observe their bodies first. So it's also about, and so one of the things that we start doing too is checking in with our bodies. Are our shoulders up higher? Are we clenching our jaws? Are we, you know, what kind of things start to happen when you are under stress?
I know that you had described that you would take a word that you called a yuck word, mm-hmm. and then you would take the opposite and try to, can you explain how you get somebody from that bad side feeling to the positive side feeling? Because I think for many people, not having that skill set or not practicing that skill set, I mean, they may have it, they just haven't practiced it yet. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get there the first time. So how do you approach that?
So a lot of times people are frustrated when they come in because they're feeling overwhelmed, they're feeling anxious. I'm trying to think of all the words that people associate with it. So you come in and you're feeling overwhelmed. And so for me, when I think of feeling overwhelmed, my first thought is okay, so I'm in this really overwhelmed spot. I'm feeling out of control. I'm feeling worried. I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling scared. And so those are all the kind of yuck words that first come up for me. And so then I list them out and I think, okay, well, what are the top one or two words that stand out to me? And so I'll go with, and right now I'll use the word overwhelm, because to me, the opposite of overwhelm is calm, right?
Makes sense.
Yeah. So a lot of times, you know, I'll help my clients draw a line and we'll create a continuum, and overwhelm will be on one side and calm will be on the other. And so then I'll say, okay, well, what's a nice neutral word? You know, what feels like it's not, like, we're not in the overwhelm, but we're not super calm either. So then we have to start identifying what words fall in between. And we can even do it as far as, even if we come up with a couple of words, it's like, well, I kind of mean the same thing. It's like, okay, well, what about intensity level? Let's rank them from intensity. What feels more intense for you? And so if we're feeling overwhelmed, it just might be, I'm feeling agitated, you know, or I'm feeling like things are moving along, but I'm still trying to keep up a little bit. So we're not in that overwhelm of like, I'm running to keep up, but things are moving quickly and I'd like them to slow down a little bit. That kind of falls in that neutral territory. It's not calm, but it's not overwhelming either.
Mm-hmm.
So then I look at the overwhelm and we'll just use the phrase moving along. And I'll say, okay, well, what action steps do we need to start taking to get to the moving along so that we can become unstuck in that overwhelm? So we can start making movement towards that calm that we said we wanted. And, you know, that can play out any different ways because people's lives are overwhelming for different reasons. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes what I will start with is, what are you going to do to care for yourself? How are you going to take care of yourself, you know, one time this week or two times, you know, over the next week? How can we make sure and make the space and the room for you to make sure that that happens for you?
I know you mentioned that it was a lot easier to do things in a range rather than say, I'm going to exercise five times a week. Giving yourself a range was more accomplishable. So how do you do that with mindfulness?
So it's really... mindfulness is also about creating some time, especially when you're first starting to practice it. You really need to create just a little bit of time in your day to sit and reflect about what happened. How did that go? How could it have been better? So a lot of times what I'll do is, you know, that, and that's what the freebie, the gratitude journal, helps you do each day. You know, there's some short exercises. It asks you some questions. It asks you to create an action plan of 1 to 3, right? Because we want to give ourselves some room of actionable steps that we can go to creating the feeling that it is that we want. And then we check back in at the end of the day and say, how did that go? What could I've changed a little bit that might have made that experience better? We really have to learn how to pause in our lives and reflect and, you know, just honestly look at what's going on, because if we're not pausing to see what's going right and if we're not pausing to see what's going wrong, we're not going to be able to create the life that we want.
Yeah, I understand that. And Amy did mention that she's offering a freebie to the listeners. It's a gratitude journal she's developed. There will be a link below the podcast for you to go to and pick it up. Is there anything else you want to add to help people develop that mindful life?
You know, just don't be afraid to practice. You know, everyone gets really frustrated, I think, because they're like, oh, well, I'm not doing it right. And it's like, well, no. If you've been practicing a thought pattern for, you know, 3+ years, do you think that you're going to get it right straight off the bat? That's unrealistic. So don't be afraid to keep practicing it. And if, you know, you miss a day, that's okay. You're a human being. Life happens. Go back and try again. Don't be afraid to try. That's when we're learning and that's when we're growing. And that's when you're going to get the hang of being and practicing mindfulness.
Great. Well, thank you, Amy. Is there a way that the listeners can get in touch with you if they want to learn more?
Sure, they can go check out my website. It's LassiterTherapies.com, LASSETER, Therapies, IES.com. And we've got the company and the bio and all the other wonderful people at the practice.
That's fantastic. Well, I thank you for taking time, not only once, but twice to do this. Thankfully, we got this recorded the second time. Again, you were just listening to Amy Lassiter of Holistic Therapies and Consulting. And please stop by and visit her website and pick up the freebie, her gratitude journal. And I thank you again, Amy, for joining us. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll join us here again on Nutrition Prescription.
Thanks so much for listening to Nutrition Prescription with your host, Angela Atkins. Find her online at yourhealthunbound.com, Twitter at Angela C. Atkins, and Facebook.com/AngelaAtkinsHNCoach. We'll see you next time.